any of the show you missed, our on-demand section, including Authors of the Week, way, way past, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glen. The on-demand section, sponsored by Gun Technics, our Author of the Week, is sponsored by our incredible friends at ABC Books on North Glenstone, just south of Kearney. It's just plus south of Kearney. We're Andy. It's next to Andy's. There's Fazoli's, there's Andy's, and then there's ABC Books. Jeremy Adams is a high school and college political science teacher from Bakersfield, California. He's written numerous books and thought pieces. His latest, Hollowed Out, a warning about America's next generation. Jeremy Adams, thank you for being with us this morning. What made you decide to write the book?
Well, good morning, Nick. Greetings from the Central Valley of California, where it is also very hot. I decided to write this book because, you know, I'm starting my 23rd year of teaching next week. And a lot of us who are in the trenches of the American classroom have noticed in the last 5 to 10 years, a lot of disturbing pivots and changes in student behavior, student attitudes, the way they spend their time, the way they look at their country, the way they look at religion. And the trends are not good. And I think that, you know, the everyday average American who, you know, goes to work every day and does their best, probably is not aware of the real crisis that is coming down the tracks of this country. And so, you know, I wanted to essentially kind of wave my hands and say, listen, everybody, we have a profound crisis in this generation coming towards us, and we got to figure out why it's happening and what it looks like.
Generally, I imagine people just assume that if there's a person who's an expert in this field, it's going to be some child psychologist with a number of degrees and diplomas in child psychology. But in fact, teachers are in a very unique position to really evaluate and identify these problems.
That's exactly right. You're singing my song, actually. One of the things that just drives me nuts is, you know, if you look at the New York Times bestseller list for nonfiction, you know, it's filled with fine people, but these are people who are really famous. You know, your Mark Levin's, your Barack Obama's, your New York Times reporters. And, you know, I'm just a regular high school teacher. I'm not a famous person at all. And yet, what I think is so troubling is, you know, I think of the largest crisis in our country. It's, yeah, China and Russia are problems, and the humongous debt, and, you know, the inability to get back to normal life after COVID. But I'm telling you right now that when you look at young people today, and the fact that we have an entire generation of young people who are being brought up untethered to adult values, adult responsibilities, adult behaviors, most of all, adult role models, you begin to see a generation that is, you know, spending so much time in their lives in a way that's not particularly productive. You know, they spend 9 or 10 hours a day on their devices. And, you know, Nick, that was before the lockdowns and the pandemic and all that. And when you look at that, that means that there's all kinds of things that young people aren't doing that you and I probably did in our childhood. They're not dating. They're not reading. They're not going to the movies. They're not going to football games. You know, half of all 18 to 34-year-olds don't have a romantic partner. The desire for marriage and family is in free fall. And don't even get me started on the fact that it's not that they're not religious. It's that they don't even know anything about the world's great religions, and they are by far the least patriotic generation in American history. So when you look at the values and the behaviors and the attachments that typically give young people a sense of meaning and purpose and joy in their lives, guess what? It's not there. And that's what I mean by hollowed out. They're hollowed out of the kind of traditional attachments that give us a sense of possibility in our lives.
I know it was probably several years ago I noticed that I would every so often hear parents who had kids that were getting around driving age talking about how some of them, not all, but some of them, they were shocked that their kids had no interest in getting a driver's license. And how, yep, when so many, that was like a huge thing because you could go out in the world. You were beyond just what your feet would take you in terms of distance. And now for some, there doesn't really seem to even be much interest. And I think that's another one. You talk about the devices, and You know, I can hear conversations play out where you're talking to your kid and you're saying, gosh, those devices, they're destroying society. And they're like, oh, well, you know, every generation goes through this. They go through it with devices. Yeah. They go through it with music. You know, the Beatles were awful and then Nirvana was awful and Marilyn Manson. You know, there's always something new and awful, and it's just people getting older. How is it different? Is that the same pattern, or is this different than, you know, when I was a kid playing Nintendo and Sega?
Yeah, this is absolutely different. You know, it's funny when you write a book, you kind of, you know, anticipate, well, what are people going to say? Well, what's the criticism? And, you know, I knew when you write a book called Hollowed Out, a warning about America's next generation, you know, everybody's going to be like, well, this is just a get off my lawn, grumpy, curmudgeon, cranky book. And let me tell you, it's not. This is different, and it's different for two reasons, and you pinpoint them really well. But the first one is the fact that the young people in our society today are the most unhappy generation in American history. For all of your listeners right now who are teachers, the word that we teachers hear in the trenches constantly is anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. If you look at the rates of self-harm in this country, they have gone up by over 50% from 2012. When you look at rates of suicide, they've gone up by over 50% as well. Just 7 or 8 years ago, a majority of teenagers preferred kind of in-person socialization. Now only a third of young people actually want to socialize in person. You talk about the car. I noticed that too. I deal with it with my teenage girls. They're in no hurry to get their phones. I noticed on Friday nights, to get their licenses. I noticed on Friday nights, a lot of my students were not going to football games. And I said, well, why aren't you guys going? And they're like, well, we're tired at the end of the week, and we can still hang out with each other if we're at home by ourselves because we have our phones. And I don't know about you, but when I think of my teenage years, that kind of, you know, that connective tissue, right, that connects you to a place or to you know, flirting or gossiping or running around or driving faster than you should, which I probably shouldn't admit to, but you know, these are magical memories. No. And yet young people today, they are more miserable. So it's not your typical, you know, book. And the other thing I would say about, you know, is this just, you know, the technology or radio of the day? No, because you and I didn't live on TV. We didn't live on radio. These young people literally live their lives on this social media, and they absorb this toxic cauldron of crap when it comes to, you know, values and views of America, in a way that TV and radio never did for us.
We're talking with our author of the week, Jeremy Adams. The book is Hollowed Out, A Warning About America's Next Generation. One of the things about my era that I really genuinely feel bad for young people because they don't experience, and this may sound silly, but note writing. You talk about flirting, but when you would write notes and, you know, waiting to get a note back, you liked a girl and you put it in her locker or you passed it over, and just seeing the handwriting and, you know, the way that she'd write your name, all that stuff, because of texting now and it's so instant, there's none of that excitement and anticipation. And I think there's just something, there's a huge element of humanity that is missing because of that.
That's really well said. A huge element of humanity. Let me kind of describe for you what I'm seeing that I think really doubles down on what you're talking about. You know, when I first started teaching, Nick, 23 long years ago now, you know, if class was over early, I'd tell the kids, okay, well, bell's going to ring in a minute or two. Just, you know, don't go too crazy. And the kids, what would they do? They'd start chatting.
Yeah.
You know, they start talking. Sometimes they get a little rowdy. You know what happens nowadays? Literally silence.
Yeah.
Silence. They take out their phones and they self-medicate and nothing happens. I have teenage girls, which, by the way, has aged me a lot more than COVID ever did. And they, you know, I'll go to a birthday party that they're going to, or we'll put on a birthday party for one of my daughters. And you kind of expect them to be kind of loud or, you know, kind of kids, teenagers running around. Nick, I've walked into rooms during these parties, and it's silent. They're all on their phones. They literally are not existing in the world that you and I think is so, you know, full of possibilities. And so, you know, they never get away from it. And what they're observing on social media, you and I would be shocked. I mean, there's a whole part of the book where I describe, you know, that this is the first generation that has been able to create a space, a kind of ecosystem, if you will, where you and I have no idea what's going on there. We can't police it. We can't parent. The kids are light years ahead of you and me. They know how to hide accounts. They know how to delete stuff that they've posted. We think that if we're following them on Instagram that we're doing a good job. And as my middle child said, we are light years away from you. You will never catch up. So imagine a whole generation that is spending 10 hours a day in a place that adults cannot observe and do not understand. No wonder they're hollowed out.
So is it all the social media? Is that the bulk of the problem? And if so, and or if not, is there anything? What can parents do?
Yeah, no, I think that it's actually not the main problem. I think that it's essentially a gas that we're throwing on a fire. And that fire is a culture of what I call, you know, radical individualism, where, you know, we live in a time where young people want the keys to the car, but they don't want the license. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, you and I understand that freedom is magical when you use your freedom to connect to things that you love more than you love yourself, right? You love somebody, so you marry them. You love your children, so you provide for them. You love your community or your country, so you sacrifice. You love your God, so you have faith. And yet young people really have interpreted freedom in a radically different way, where they interpret freedom as the empowerment to not connect to anything. So that's why you don't see dating. You don't see patriotism. Very few people want to serve in the military. Families don't eat together anymore. Families definitely don't go to church together like they used to. So all of this, you know, the way that we looked at freedom is a way of choosing what to connect to. They have interpreted as a way of choosing not to connect to anything. And then, of course, the social media accelerates and amplifies those problems. And you ask, what's the solution? The adults have got to start adulting again. We have got to put ourselves back into the physical, intellectual, and moral spaces of our young people, because young people are going to get a value system from somewhere. Mm. And if they don't get it from us because we're not insisting on it, they're going to get it from what they're observing on social media, which you and I can't even control.
Well, and when it comes to social media, I think we probably, there is some leading by example. You know, if your kids see you on your device all the time, they're going to do it as well. It kind of reminds me, it's probably you and I maybe around the same era, that drug PSA where the dad comes in, he finds a joint, and he asks his son, you know, where did you learn to do this? And he said, you, all right, I learned it by watching you. It was a real iconic PSA. Mm-hmm. And then the dad realizing, oh my gosh, you know, I'm responsible for this behavior. And I think there's a similar situation there where parents utilize those devices just as much as kids oftentimes do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the other one, do you remember the brain on drugs?
And the egg.
The egg, remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could apply.
Yeah, absolutely. This is your brain on social media. But you know what? You're so right about that. I mean, actually, the book is, you know, people might think that it's kind of this screed against young people. It's actually not. It's tough on you and me because kids are kids. They can't control the world they're being into. They don't decide what the norms are and what everybody else is doing. And so you're right. Really, the adults do a lot of these things as well. I am guilty of this, by the way. We have this whole era, and there's a whole section in the book about how adults nowadays are constantly distracted, too. We are distracted in our parenting. We are distracted in my career in our teaching. You look at somebody who's standing in line at the bank. Nobody ever just stands there and kind of lets their mind wander anymore. We're constantly engaged in the minutia of what's on our screens. So you're right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of parents, myself included, we have got to do a better job modeling this behavior as well. It's kind of this weird world where you have parents who are more interested in taking a picture or a selfie of dinner and posting it on Instagram than they are actually sitting down and engaging in the conversations of the meal. It's a really weird world we're living in.
Final question, our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Jeremy Adams, the book Hollowed Out, warning about America's next generation as adults. Well, as human beings, we always think our perspective is correct, and as adults, we think kids don't know anything. We are the wise ones. Is there something that we're missing, but the kids are getting right?
Absolutely. This is an extraordinary generation. There are a lot of things that I think they have right. Number one is they are not timid in the kinds of challenges they want to take on. They really want to be the generation that once and for all puts racism behind us. They are the generation that really does believe that there is an existential threat to the planet, and they are willing to sacrifice their diets, and all kinds, you know, comfort in order to do something about it. Whether or not you agree with the politics or the science, this is a very brave generation. And they absolutely will not tolerate sexism. They will not tolerate homophobia. They won't tolerate a lot of the things that you know, Americans look to and say, you know, these elements are out there and we don't want them there. And what's interesting to me is, and this is, I teach American civics, so it's also drives me crazy. But what's interesting is their view of justice is completely American. I mean, you know, when you ask them what is justice, they will give you a bunch of ideas that come right out of the Declaration of Independence and the European Enlightenment and the 14th Amendment and Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail. And what's so interesting is they have this thoroughly view of American justice, and yet they are the least likely generation to actually say that they're patriotic. Hmm. One out of five millennials say that they see the flag as a symbol of hate. There was a famous poll a few years ago where a majority of 18 to 29-year-olds had a more positive view of socialism than capitalism. So those things drive me crazy. Right. But really underneath it, there is this optimism that we can live up to our ideals, and we need to do a better job doing it. So there's a lot that's great about them as well.
And perhaps some hope there underneath it all.
Yes.
Jeremy Adams, Hollowed Out, A Warning About America's Next Generation. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Nick. You have a good day.
All right, you do the same. Springfield's Talk 104.1, of course, our on-demand section. You can catch all of our past authors of the week, which, of course, is always sponsored by our good friends at ABC Books on North Glenstone. The on-demand section, sponsored by Gun Tech in Nixa.